Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a study of the book of Romans. We've gotten ourselves into chapter 13, and we've gotten ourselves into some trouble, I think. This is not an easy passage, and yet I'm reading it just as it is. I'm not trying to explain it away, which many do when they come to a hard passage in Scripture, and sometimes you really do, I guess, have to explain something. Because maybe we've been disobeying it for so long. This one is pretty clear, isn't it? And yet it's not. It's just people just ignore it. Ignore it. Don't ignore this. It's just as much a part of Romans as those first chapters about your salvation. Maybe not as important in that sense, but it's still from the Holy Spirit, still from the Apostle Paul. Chapter 13, verse 2. I started reading it last time. Let's start it again. Therefore, that is because, maybe we should just read verse 1 again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, the authorities above. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so, verse 2. Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. So, whoever resists Adolf Hitler resists God, yes? And did Corrie ten Boom and the countless others who housed Jews during the Holocaust, did they resist God? No, I think not. Even though they disobeyed Hitler, they obeyed God. Like the women in Exodus who hid the little babies that were being slaughtered. Little Jewish babies. Just it's the same deal, isn't it? The slaughter in Exodus and the slaughter in Hitler's day. There were some people who, they didn't come against. I'm not talking about coming against the man and marching on him and finding a way to kill him. I'm talking about just quietly doing what you got to do. Quietly obeying God. Doing the right thing. That's what Corrie ten Boom. Yeah, it was disobedience, but we're allowing, and we must allow that in this chapter, but we're not going to allow every little thing that people want to use as an excuse not to obey the law. It's not good. They obeyed God, who tells his people to care for others, to love others. They were doing the right thing, but they didn't attack Hitler. They didn't stage protests, or like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, they didn't conspire with others to kill the Führer. I understand I've just come against one of your heroes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I haven't read much of him. What I have read seems to be pretty good, but that little bit of his life has always bothered me. Should I be a part? If things got really bad here in America, and the present president, or any president, just got more and more powerful, and he was taking more and more of my liberties away. Should I get together with a bunch of my Christian friends or any friends and find a way to assassinate him? Is that God? No, I've never seen God's people being told to do things like that. No, it's possible to obey God and man. At times it is. When there's a choice, we must obey God, of course. But all too many in my nation think there's constantly a choice that I have to make. Listen, overtaxation is not a reason to be disobedient to the government. Paul's already, he hasn't. We're going to come up with that in just a minute, we'll tell you. God supplies tax money to people who are overtaxed. You don't have to be disobedient. You have to be faithful and trusting God in that situation. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't cheat. There's no need for that. Paul is clear here. Oh, well, one thing I forgot to say, corrupt leadership. You know, some people say overtaxation is my excuse. No, corrupt leadership is my excuse. No, that's not a reason for disobedience. Vengeance and correction belong to the Lord, not to you. You don't have to pay that guy back that's corrupt in your government. Most of them are these days. We know that. We've seen it. It's just constant now before us. The way people finagle to get into office and to stay in office, it's awful. But I'm not to disobey them because they're awful. We've already established that. Paul is clear, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Yeah, it starts with traffic laws. Sign said 35. Okay, so I'm going 50. It's no big deal. Who really cares? Who am I really hurting? You're disobeying the law. And then cheating on income taxes comes next in my country. And they say, these people who do this, well, robbing a thief can't be bad. You steal from a thief, he's, you know, that's got to be it. No, we say that to our shame. Theft is theft. You steal, you need to be punished. You've come against God's law when you steal. And it goes up from there. Traffic, taxes, until anarchy and assassination seem justifiable. But they're not. I know there are many great church-going folks out in the west of our country. I hear about them every once in a while. They're militias. They're little armies that are ready to go at a moment's notice and do whatever they have to do. And they're Christian people. Uh-huh. Sorry. In Paul's estimation, and not mine, I don't have an estimation, but in Paul's estimation, you are against the authority of God himself in this country. You resist government, you'll receive judgment. Not just good governments, but bad ones too. Now, I know that our nation was formed in rebellion, in revolution, in defiance of the present government. Canada's was not. Canada has been known to be a peaceful nation through the years, for the most part. America hasn't. We've been in war after war after war. For better or worse, I don't want to even go there right now. And the government, but the government has stayed the same, at least. We have a stability here. And when we resist that government, judgment can come. Whether this is a good government or a bad government, we are to do what we're told and not to come against it unless, and never, never come against it. But disobey it only when, again, it comes against God's word, and we've established that. Obey as long as God's word allows obedience. I think we've said it enough. Let's go on to the verse afterwards, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Are you the kind who gets nervous when you see a police car in your rearview mirror? What are you so afraid about? You've been breaking the law lately? Are you nervous when a letter with IRS on the return address section of the envelope lands in your mailbox? Why? Have you been cheating and you know you're going to be audited now and you're afraid? You've been a lawbreaker. That's why you get afraid. You believe justice is about to be meted out to you. And whether it comes that way through the government, through the police, or through God himself, there is a reciprocal action in God's people. You don't get away with stuff. God will not send you to hell for going 50 miles an hour. I'm saying he will, though, smack you if he has to. He'll stop you. He'll show, it may be painful what he has to do. I don't know how he will deal with you. He may just be able to stand before you somehow and reprove you. Maybe just reading this scripture. Wouldn't that be good? Just reading the scripture, hearing this scripture will tell you, oh man, I don't want to live like that anymore. No need to be afraid, Paul says. You want to be unafraid of that authority? Do what is good. That's what he says. We're still in verse 3. Do what is good. And you'll have praise from the same. In other words, obey the law. He's not just talking about your good, what you think is good, your standard. Talking about the government's standard. Do what they say is good. Obey them. Obey the laws of the land. Absolutely no excuse for a Christian to be a lawbreaker unless the law is asking you to break a law of God. And that doesn't happen yet very often in my country. A lot of people want to think it does, but it doesn't. What about this idea of praise? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. It's hard to imagine the authorities sending you a thank you note for obeying the law, but the absence of any tickets or fines is certainly an indication that you are in favor with the law, and it feels good. God himself will second that favor, I think, with rewards of his own. Good conscience is certainly a good reward, isn't it? Biblically, we think of examples such as Daniel, who's willing to pay the price for disobedience at one time, but who for the most part was totally in line with the rules of the empire and a governor, part of the government. But if he ever had to go astray like he did at that time, praying so that everybody could see him, that he was defying the emperor, he didn't care about that. Paul tried his best to be a good Jew, but when he had to, along with Peter, he broke Jewish and Roman laws to preach Christ. Jesus himself kept the laws of Rome, even using a miracle to pay his taxes, but he came against the laws of the Jews of his day, as godly truth was in opposition to them. We too may have to suspend some of the Pharisaism of church governments of our own time to obey God, and will be soundly rejected and hated for it. Don't dare come against KJV onlyism, for example. That's a law that's in our land. I'm talking about the church land now. That's risen up among us as though it were in the Bible itself. KJV, those initials are not in the KJV version, by the way. But don't dare, seriously, don't you dare come against these people who have decided that the King James Version is the Word of God and nothing else is. You'll be called a demon. You'll be sent out of their temple. And don't stand up in a charismatic meeting and say, this meeting is out of order. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 14. You're doing this all, even if I don't even know if any of this stuff going on in here is real. But if it is real, let's put it in order. Don't do that. It'll be off with your head immediately. Above all, don't you dare oppose a woman who's in the pulpit. Oh, my. You'll be carried out of the meeting, perhaps on a stretcher. If you were the Apostle Paul and you stood up in that meeting and you said while she's preaching, listen, don't you all remember what I wrote to you? I said that a woman should not be teaching or having authority over a man. This woman needs to sit down. There needs to be a man that'll come up. If no other man will do this, I will come up myself. Oh, come on. Do you know how far that would go? Even if it were the Apostle Paul himself saying what he already said, we don't need his physical body right now. We've got his words. I don't allow a woman to teach. Bingo, done. If you don't allow it, Paul, my goodness, I'm not going to. Paul gave good reasons, but we're not going to go there right now. I'm going to lose a few people on this one, maybe even get some hate mail. Every once in a while, I do. Somebody has to be real nasty with me. You can disagree, but you don't have to be nasty. Come on. Okay, there are traditions that have risen among us that have become laws. But since they come against God's original word, these things I just mentioned, they've got to be broken. We've got to stand against them. We don't have to get violent, physical. We have to just say what God said and nothing more. But generally speaking, Paul says, keep the peace. That's what he said in the last chapter. As much as is possible, as much as lies in you. You see how these two discussions kind of blend together about our enemies and loving our enemies. And yet the fact is that it's many of our enemies, our true enemies, that are in the government above us. Every once in a while, you do find a Christian in government, but I'm saying the system is put in place by the enemy. So loving your enemy in chapter 12 blends right into obey the government in chapter 13. The summary that we read last time, 12:21, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It fits both chapters. Let's go back to the main trail of human government and their representative. That's in verse 4. But if I start verse 4 and I finish verse 4, my goodness, we'll be here so late. I got to stop. I have to stop right now. He is God's minister to you for good. Amazing. Chapter 13, verse 4 starts talking about that mayor or that governor or that president of yours as a minister of God. Who's your minister over there where you go? Oh, my minister? Governor so-and-so, president so-and-so. No, well, I'm getting into next time. I've got to stop right here, seriously. North Korea, it's all over my website. Would you go checking that out on the series thing, on the series link, two-thirds of the way down your page there on that homepage. Look for North Korea. Look at the North Korea photo update. Just click on photos, click on the album, and there's two or three years of pictures that will help you to pray for North Korea. Quran, Muhammad, prophecy through the Bible, books, and a website that I'm working on that I do hope you will visit. Criesfromamongus.com is the name of that one, is the address of that one. And I think that's all for today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.